Great. Hallelujah. Good being with you guys. Love you all so much. Thank you, fans. Have a seat. Praise God. It's great coming here. I love it. And I want to say some thank yous as well to Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrea, but to the worship team as well. Love. So we could have worshipped all morning. I just love the anointing on your lives. And thank you for all the pressing in and practice and everything you guys do. Absolutely. I mean, to carry heaven in worship, not many places do that, but you do here. There you go. We won't get proud, but we will be grateful. And we'll boast in God's presence, because you don't find it everywhere. And who else did I want to thank? Oh, I've got a whole list here. The people that laid the carpet, really love that. I love your screens. Thank you, B&H Sound. I want to thank every one of you that's so faithful to God. The fact you're here this morning is amazing, because you love Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of all. You can spend eternity with him. You got out of bed to come here. Isn't that amazing? But it is. Because you're living for God. So I want to thank you as my brother or sister in Christ for being faithful to God. Can you thank the Lord for you? Come on, that should be the loudest clap. Thank the Lord for you. Because Jesus thought you were worth dying for. Praise the Lord. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was a little bit cross with God in the flesh. Because I had a really great sermon put together. It had nothing to do with prayer. And he said, I want you to teach a bit, share some testimony and teach a bit on prayer. Well, coming here and doing that is like going into Greg's and telling him how to make a chicken bake. Yeah. I was on my back foot and ultimate dependence. I'm going to try that sometime. Can I just give you a bit of advice on your chicken bakes? I know you make millions of them. And this morning actually confirmed my fleshly fears, if I had any, after such a wonderful time of prayer. So it shows I'm a man of faith, that I trust God. But I pray this morning, and I know God is faithful, and that he'll do something in your life, that as you and our church enter into a new season of prayer, which is really developing relationship with God, your Heavenly Father, that's really what prayer is, and enabling his kingdom and plan and purpose to break down the enemies, that you will grow in God too. But I've got two titles for this morning's sermon, and you can choose which one you like best. By the way, is it possible I could have a chair up here, or are they all padlocked together with an alarm system so that if anyone separates them, if I could just have one chair? It's not a sermon prop. I just feel a bit tired this morning. I'm just No, it is a sermon prop, honestly. And so the first one, I kind of thought, you know, because you want to, you're a preacher, so you want to come up with a real spiritual title, like praying heaven down into the atmosphere, or, well, I've just called it praying properly. Is that right? Praying properly. You know, it's intimidating in the natural, because your pastor, one of your pastors, Judith Butler, has even written a book on prayer. So how can I come and teach you anything? Well, we'll see what God does. Or the second title, if you prefer it, is You Can Come Too. You can come too. All right. Now in the school playground, can I play? Well, God says to you this morning, you can come too. And there's been a thread in what the Spirit's done this morning already about his glory and his presence and wanting to know him in his glory and holiness. You know, many Christians will live a whole life being nominal Christians, but they'll never know him in his glory and in his holiness. And so God says to you, when he talks of his throne, or when he talks of encountering him, there's some of you that believe everyone else in the room's better than you, or is a better Christian or more spiritual. But God says to you this morning, to the least of you, to the greatest of you, however you measure that measure, you can come too. Is that all right? So thanks for having me, and I'll see you maybe another time. All you got to do is believe that by faith and name it and claim it, and it'll be yours. Now, when we talk about prayer, this last June and July, God said to me, Dave, for what I'm going to be doing in your life and in your church and in that which I'm trusting you with, I want you to set June and July aside to meet with me. And he said to me, you won't be able to discern or deal with or cope with or understand unless you have this time. So I'm giving you 2 months. And how God told me to do it was I'd have an hour's prayer in the morning of my daily prayer time, if you like, where I'll read my Bible, lift things and issues of the day to him. Then at lunchtime for an hour, it would just be meeting with him in his glory and in his holiness, which sounds very spiritual, but I'll show you what that looks like in a minute. It's not as difficult as you think. And then in the evening, it'd be interceding for the church and other situations, friends of ours, people we'd know. But it was going to be basically 3 hours a day. Now, that was a dreadful thing to God to ask me, because I've never really liked praying. Now, I'll qualify this in a minute. I love praying and meeting with God, but my upbringing of prayer, which was the other side of what you heard this morning, which is we've come through the blood with an open invitation into the Holy of Holies. But I was taught when I first got saved that prayer was something different. Now, the first form of prayer I was taught, I was born again. They're lovely, well-meaning people. And if God did something in that for them, great. But for me, I was a teenager. I'd just come out of being a biker, born to be wild, head out on the highway looking for adventure in whatever comes our way. Long hair, never washed it. They used to call me Grebo. And I get born again, and I'm suddenly surrounded by Christians. And so when I go to church, because that's what Christians do, when we came to our prayer time, having sung There Is a Green Hill Far Away, I wasn't sure which one they were referring to, because I'd come across quite a lot in my life. The minister would stand in the pulpit and say, let's bow our heads in prayer. So I kind of figure prayer is there, because I bow my head into it. And so whenever we prayed, what I was taught was prayer means, or to pray, you bow your head into it. And I thought, stuff anyone with a neck problem and a collar on, because you ain't going to be able to pray until your collar's off. You're out of the prayer line. But I'll pray for you, because I can bow my head in prayer. Now, of course, the biblical reason or unbiblical reason people did that was, of course, we're called to bow down before the Lord and lay flat before the Lord. But even in Isaiah, God rebuked people for praying. It says, is the fasting I require that you bow your head like a reed to pray, an outward format without an inward thing? So I get the sense. I don't want to mock anything this morning. But for me, I was taught that to bow my head in prayer was the way I pray. So if you ever saw me like that in my lounge, what are you doing? I'm praying, because that's how you pray. Then I got really depressed, because I was invited to a Baptist prayer meeting. And this is why I've got a chair, because we'd all sit in a circle, and this is why I went bald. Because in a Baptist prayer meeting in a circle, now listen, I love my Baptist roots, seriously, and there's some lovely, lovely people, and I praise God for that heritage. I'm just teaching you how I was taught to pray. And I have a foundational Baptist teaching in that, which I praise God for the integrity of Scripture in. But this is how I was taught to pray in this Baptist meeting. We'd sit in a circle, and we'd bow our heads, and we'd get into shampoo position, and we'd all sit there like this. And it fell out. I'd call it shampoo, condition, and set. Eventually, you get halfway through the meeting and you'd have to sit up because your tummy was hurting. But we were like praying from depression. Almost like, oh God, if you would dare hear me, listen to me, that would be amazing. And there was no faith in it. It was just when we pray, it came from a religion. We've got to be serious and bow before God. And then you'd go out really encouraged, supposedly. But I was left kind of wondering if God really wanted to hear my prayer and whether it really mattered. Then you got the other ones, which are hilarious. These ones are great. You sit in a circle. And we've really progressed. And imagine being invited to a night of prayer. I mean, a night of that. But this one's really good. You sit in a circle. You don't really pray. You just shout out a name. Have you ever been? It's like, Dan. Someone on the other side of the room shouts out, Lucy. Now I'm an 18-year-old, just got born again. Now we're here. Sally. I wonder how old she is. I'll pray for her. Maybe you could bring her next week. And I learned, you know, you get a spiritual language. I thought this was it because someone else in the circle, you'd hear Sid, and they'd go, someone else in the circle would go, I learned, and then someone else said, Daniel. So when I heard Sally, I went, This prayer meeting, this was my heavenly language. I didn't realize it meant tongues. And there's always the one person that prays every week for the same person. I kind of think, well, God's never going to answer their prayer for Dan. So this is now my boring response. And so that was my experience and how I was kind of brought up into prayer. So if I was ever offered a night of prayer, you could see why other options of going out for the evening may have seemed preferable. But of course, that type of praying is not the type of praying God wants. I kind of still can't figure out, I was thinking about it, why in the circle? It's like, is it just we've got sore throats or we've become lazy? But this morning we prayed for certain people and we had some detail and we lifted it up before God in faith. But why is it like it's just private, we'd say, Dan? And you'd kind of be tempted to kind of sit there. And I was thinking up a name I could shout out because I was less spiritual than everybody else. If I didn't shout a name out. The funniest name was Douglas. Now, if you're called Douglas, praise God for you. I just thought the name Douglas was really funny. So, every now and again, Douglas. Anyway, so we don't want to pray like that, do we? No, we don't. Hallelujah. So, God said to me in June, July, he said, I need to do a work in you to enable you to stand in all I'm going to do through you. And I had a tremendous picture, and God's going to do something in our lives this morning. And he said, Dave, it's like you're an engine in a car, and in June and July, I'm going to lift that engine out. And just through time, the Lord showed me he was the driver of the car, but if the engine wasn't maintained properly, then it would break down before the purposes of God were fulfilled to get me to where he wanted to get me. Does that make sense? So prayer and encountering God services and maintains the engine, because a maintained Christian or a discipled Christian, a Christian who has a strong prayer life, can go at the speed God wants them to go at. And it's very interesting, when churches move into a move of God, which you and we are believing God for here and up in Kenilworth, many people drop out at that point, which it won't in Jesus' name here or in my place, because if people are not maintained in the purposes of God in prayer, they will break down when you need to go on the longer journey. Now, I know cars can break down on short journeys, but the worst ones are if you're in the middle of the M5 or far away from home in the middle of the moor somewhere. You don't want to break down. It's not God's plan for you to break down. So what God was doing in me in June and July was taking the engine out so he could work on it. And he took me through a whole process of things. But one of the things he spoke to me about was, Dave, when I designed you as an engine, I only designed you with genuine parts, and all those parts were made in heaven. But when you go through difficult times, when you go through tough times, sometimes things get replaced with things that aren't of me. Rejection's one of them. Pain is one of them. The filter of just listening to the Spirit gets changed with a filter of bad experience. Are you with me? We can go on. The spark plug, the life of night of Jesus can be dulled because it gets carboned up with rejection or pain you go through. You're still a Christian engine. Jesus is still the driver and his foot's still on the pedal. But when you need to flow in everything that he has, things can go wrong. And that's why corporate prayer here and in our place is amazing. But what God wants you and I to develop is personal prayer. Because corporate prayer then becomes greater. So if you are just carried along by your leader's faith and the corporate, you will break down eventually. Because Jesus didn't die for the corporate, he died for individuals. And individuals make up the corporate. And if we get that the wrong way round, when your storm comes, or when your day of trouble comes, you will not be able to stand. And the great thing about this is it's not a threat. It talks of the love of Jesus that is desperate for intimacy with you. God is so desperate for you to have intimacy with him as a child of God. He sent Jesus to restore that intimacy. And of course, that's what we celebrated in Holy Common Union or Communion this morning. It talks of oneness with God and a level oneness with one another. We're celebrating something really that, of course, that Jesus has done. But it brings our commonality together of one cause and one purpose. That sounds complicated. I don't even understand what I just said, but it sounded good. Anyway, so this whole process I was going through, and I want to just share a couple of principles with you this morning that I learned through that time. Because I had a picture for you this morning that some of you are like tied up to the dockside, and God wants to untie you so you can flow in a new relationship. Or not a new relationship, but a greater sense of revelation as to what prayer really is. And one of the first things the devil says to you when you start to pray is God's not listening. And then he says nothing's happening. Has anyone else ever had that? It seems dry. It seems like not a lot's happening. That's when the most is happening. God is doing tons of stuff in that time. So the first thing to do is break that lie. Because Jesus says whenever you come to pray, and I'll show you from Hebrews 10 in a minute, miraculous things start to happen. And God says whenever you come to pray, you're to do it with confidence. You're to approach the throne of grace with absolute assured confidence that God is hearing your prayer. Now, I've been in ministry for years, but often I must admit, I will come to prayer and not really be sure if God, or pre 2 months ago, if God was really hearing. Is God really there? What's really happening? But God wants you and I to come before him with absolute and total confidence, which doesn't get developed in the corporate, because you can just follow the flow of the Spirit in the corporate. It gets done in the secret place where Jesus says, close your door. What is done in secret, God will reward. It's your personal development. And I don't want to break down when God's telling me to go through things, or I'm going through things. And I'll show you again in a moment a couple of things that I realize now why I needed to, and I'll realize more in the future, but why I needed that time set aside. But I want you to ask yourself the question this morning, and it's not a time thing, but what's my relationship with God personally really like? Am I propped up by the corporate? The corporate's here to encourage. The corporate's here to build. The corporate's here to train. The corporate's here to disciple. We have to do all those things. But God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be dependent on the corporate. He wants you to be a strength within the corporate. He doesn't want leadership to always be repairing broken engines. And sometimes these situations in our lives, God was just showing me certain things as we unpack this, like things that the enemy had put onto this engine. And, you know, a filter of poor quality can look exactly the same as a filter of good quality. It's just not genuine. It's cheaper. But under pressure, it will break or not perform. I don't know if you ever watched a film years ago called The Towering Inferno or something, one of these things. But the thing that caused it was the electrical contractor didn't put the right wire in to save money. He put a lower spec wiring through the whole building, which when all the lights came on and the building came to open, couldn't stand the heat, set fire and burnt the whole lot down again. It was substandard. And God hasn't placed anything in the engine of your life that's substandard. Every single thing God has placed in your life and mine was made in heaven, purchased through the lifeblood of Jesus Christ, and is strong. And so the enemy even wants to put filters on you saying you're less than every other Christian. Pastor Judith can pray. She's written a book on it. Pastor Andrea can pray because she's called Pastor Andrea. And Sandra can pray because she's really good at all the secretarial and keyboard and everything else. But as for you, you just sit in row 4, always in the same seat because you want to somehow find out what's going on. But God says, I've called you and chosen you to be able to meet with me. And I don't want to separate prayer from relationship, because how you feel about prayer, even though the word feel can be a bit of a swear word, but what you understand of prayer, put it that way, reflects what you understand of the nature of God. If you say God's not hearing me, you're saying he's a pretty unloving God because he just can't be bothered to listen. He's disinterested. Well, I think a God that would send his son Jesus to die for you and for me on the cross is very interested. And so I've been really encouraged in these 2 months to see God develop that whole area. Now, the other thing to recognize when we pray is not to strive, because it's a work of the Spirit. A few years, I'm born again now. I'm a child of God, but I didn't recognize that how to pray. I'd been taught, I was still doing shampoo and conditioning and set and shouting out the name Sid every now and again. I've now moved on because I'm a Rothy student. Oh, I'm a Rothy student. I've made heaven. Not. Because I was a naughty Rothy student. I spent half of it down the pub. In fact, if you go to be a student at Rothy now, you're not allowed to the pub. It doesn't mean that that rule was brought in. I missed kitchen duty. I was so naughty at Rothy. I loved being naughty. I just loved being naughty. I was born to be wild. I hadn't met, and I'd flick elastic bands around. I just honestly who I was. I'm not proud of it. It's just who I was. I was, but now God's changed a lot of that. But in this time, we were then being taught to seek God. And you weren't broken unless you laid on the carpet. And when you got a room of 200 other people laying on the carpet, you're not going to stand up and say, stuff that for a lark. You've got to lay on the carpet. So I'm laying on the carpet trying to look humble. Some are crying, some are praying, and then others who are leading would say things like, I've just seen the Lord in his glory. And I'm laying on the carpet thinking, all I'm seeing is a filthy carpet. I don't know where the feet have been or what they've trodden in and what I'm laying on. And now I promise you this is true. I looked up, the leader said, look at Jesus. I looked up and I saw a big toenail. Honest. I'm learning to pray. I'm trying. I'm on my face like everyone else. Someone over the other side is snoring. People are shouting things out. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm trying. I want a vision. I want to have this heavenly encounter so that I can go around with this kind of, you know, people that have met with God often have a phasey look on their face and just this kind of nice smile. I wanted one of those because that means I've met with God. I was trying so hard. And when we'd always finish with a victory song, I just sang and jumped. I was just so happy it was over. Honestly, I couldn't wait. And we'd have a lot of these times, and 1 week we used to have at the beginning of the time was called Finding God Week or Seeking God Week. I don't know if he's lost. But whatever the week was, we had to find him. We had to seek him. But because I'm Pastor Dave or whatever I was, House Group Leader Dave, you've got to. Can't wait. But God knew, and God's got a sense of humor. And in all of that, when I didn't know what's happening and the toenail was on the carpet, God was doing a work. Because when you seek God, it's a work of the Spirit. I'd fall asleep on mission in Kensington Temple. I've told you the story before. Everyone else was meeting with God, crying at the end of the meetings. The team were, and really encountering. And I was desperate to meet with God, and I just couldn't meet with God. I was trying so hard. I was being as good as I could. Everyone else getting these visions and encounters, but Dave couldn't come too. But one morning I get up, living with Pastor Colin at the time, and Caroline, his wife, she said to me, every night I fell asleep at Kensington Temple. Seriously, it was the end. I was tired. And I'd wake up every night to them all singing, "Soon and very soon we're going to see the King." I thought, you better hurry up, because I ain't anything. I've only got four nights to go. Five nights went. Angela and my on the team and my wife now, they'd be crying having met with God. Every night we'd be driving back in Pastor Colin's car. The only thing I was happy about is we'd stop for McDonald's milkshake and apple pie on the way home. Seriously, I'm serious. But Caroline said to me on Saturday morning, she says, "Dave, you've really changed this week." And all I'd done was fallen asleep. And here's the deal. God was teaching me that when we seek God, it's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. If you try to meet with God, you never will. If you trust him that it's not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit, you will meet with God. And I've had several encounters with God now that are genuine in his glory and in his holiness. Because I recognize I can't, out of my strength or who I think I am, ever meet with this glorious God. It's he who has made the way and given me the qualification, so I no longer need to try. I have direct access, and I can approach his throne with confidence anytime. So all of that is to say, if you ever find yourself in these coming months, as you enter more and more into developing your own prayer life and your walk with God, that you're trying, stop trying and enter into that which he has already made a way for. Does that make sense? Because it'll save you years of misery. It'll save you time staring at toenails. And it will save you a lot of condemnation, because never compare yourself with other people, because God doesn't want you to. You are unique in him. He died for you on the cross, and he wants you to encounter him in his glory and in his holiness. Every single one of us are, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, sins remembered no more. This is for you as well as well. Don't wait and for someone to get to a place in your life where you're spiritually mature enough. The minute you got born again, you entered into the capability of encountering God in your own life. That may not mean 3 hours a day praying for you, but it does mean a heart attitude that says, God, in a new way, I want to know you. I want to meet with you. I need you. And I'm just going to jump into Hebrews 10 for a moment. I'm only going to be 10, 15 minutes, whatever, but we're going to just want to bring this together to show you this. In every single day of the last 2 months, I've been reading this scripture, because as I came to my lunchtime encountering God, because God was breaking something in my life that nothing was happening. Every time you pray, something happens. Yes. Every time you pray. We break that lie this morning in Jesus' name. Every time you pray, it's powerful and effective, and something happens. James 5:11 says that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Don't turn to James right now, but he's saying that the word here in the Amplified, the heartfelt, continued prayer. See, I've listened to a lot of people leading prayer meetings, so I can pray from my mind easily. I know how to make prayer sound right, but praying from my heart is a different level. It's a totally different place. is a totally different place. And I have to remind myself sometimes when I start praying that I'm not praying what sounds right, I'm praying what's heartfelt. Not feelings, but what's really from my heart. God, I want to honor you. And I also start by saying, Holy Spirit, you have to enable me to pray, because my prayer is a work of the Spirit. Romans, wherever it is, tells us that same thing. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think, great God, it's okay to feel weak. It's okay to feel like nothing in my little lounge where I'm not in church and no one else is around. It's okay to feel weak because, Holy Spirit, you're coming to help me. You're coming to help me. You're coming to help me. I don't have to do this nail searching on my own. I don't have to be doing this. I don't have to be in shampoo position. Holy Spirit, you are coming to help me. And me is me. It's not everybody else. You are coming to help me. It's important I know that, having had so many years of rejection and so many years of feeling less than everybody else. And sometimes other people will help you feel rejected who are insecure in ministry, I can tell you. People that don't like your leadership will help you feel rejected and reject you. Jesus said he was. It will happen to you. But I want you to know how much God this morning looks at you and he says, I'm going to send my Spirit to help you. And don't forget everyone else in the room. You can just say to yourself now, that means me. If you're ever trying to pray on your own, stop it. God never designed you or me to pray without the Holy Spirit. So all failure is given up from this moment on. You will only fail if you try and pray on your own. So the Spirit's our helper. In Hebrews 10, and Pastor Judith alluded to some of this morning. But in Hebrews 10:4, just to jump through it quickly, it says, the blood of bulls and goats is powerless to take sins away. That was talking of the Old Testament. There were cleansing ceremonial washes on the outside, but it could never take away your sins. And then it goes on in 9. It says, behold, here I am coming to do your will. That's Jesus saying to God, I'm coming to do your will, which is I'm coming to be put on the cross, to lay my life down. And this is why. This is why. This is amazing. In 10 it says, and in accordance with this will, the will of God, we have been made holy. Yes. Dave, you, whatever you were in the past, whatever name you had, whatever you've been through, Dave, I have consecrated and sanctified you through this thing that Jesus said to Father God, I've come to do your will. Isn't that wonderful? And he made that offering for me and for you once for everybody. He didn't like the priests of the Old Testament have to keep doing it. He says, Dave, whatever your name is, I came once and that was enough to enable you to be made holy. I've consecrated and sanctified you, which basically means you've been set apart for God's plans and purposes. And then it goes on in 12 to say, whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins that shall avail for all time, that sacrifice we celebrated this morning will last forever. It doesn't have to be repeated ever again. That one sacrifice Jesus made, and then he sat down at the right hand of God. And then in 14 it said, for by a single offering he is forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. And so I'm sitting in my office at these lunchtimes meeting with God. And I'm saying, God, thank you today. Because of that single offering, Jesus has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. Now, in other words, I know I still get it wrong and sin less and less, I hope. But I cannot come before God other than being perfect in his sight. Because I can only come through the blood. So when God looks at you, what does he see? Perfection. The blood of Jesus. You've come through the blood made perfect. Isn't that great? I mean, I'd smile about that this morning. I hope I'm not boring you to death here this morning. But because I'm so aware of my weakness and my inadequacy, whenever God looks at me, all he can see is perfection. Hallelujah. And therefore, when I come to pray as an individual, I have a new resoluteness. I don't have to seek you to find you in... I know it says seek the Lord where he may be found, but it doesn't mean in the flesh. I don't have to try to seek him and wiggle my way into his presence and hope I'm forgiven. God, I am totally acceptable right now as I come to pray. I am totally blameless. I am pure and I am holy. And therefore, Dave Shipham's going to have the best prayer hour ever. Because I'm now praying from a different mindset and a different level. And so it says that here. And then there's a few more little nuggets that in Hebrews 10 here. And it says, so I'm consecrated and made holy. And then it goes on to say in 19, therefore, brothers, since we have full freedom. Dave, as you start your prayer time, as you go into your prayer closet, whatever your name is this morning, he says, you have full freedom. Now, who ever approaches prayer not feeling like you've got full freedom? You've got the shopping list on your mind? Things you've let God down with? I know I'm in Taunton Cairf and you don't sin here. But in some churches, people sin. In some churches, people sometimes get it wrong. I know we're different levels here this morning. But listen, so I want to say something like, sometimes I sin. You're not surprised, are you? I know you don't, but it is when you're naughty, it's when you come outside of the will of God. And actually, I don't want to depress you, but the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in fact, it also says he who says he's without sin is a liar. So I kind of figure maybe sometimes you do too. But because we come through the blood, it doesn't matter in terms of we're not returning to our vomit. We don't take the grace of God in vain. But because you've come through the blood, there's nothing to hold you back. There's nothing. There is not one inch the enemy can hold on to you and say, lack confidence, because the devil say, yeah, you're saying you're coming before the throne of God in prayer now, but remember how you were on the road when that guy cut you up and what you called him. It's interesting, it says, God remembers your sins no more, but the devil don't forget them. Remember that attitude you had. Remember this. And God says, I don't see any of that. Because that's why the blood is so precious. That's why I honor the blood of Jesus. It's not a little nip and a sip. I'm telling you, I honor it because it's the very thing that means I'm perfect, I'm holy. And from that place, I can begin the prayer journey of confidence and breakthrough. And I know when I pray, it's not my arrogance, but I have confidence before God to pray, and my prayers will be answered. Let me draw this round. Listen, it says, therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this fresh and living way, oh, this got me this morning. I was so excited. This is the Amplified, means it's louder, which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain, veil of the Holy of Holies. That is through his flesh. And this morning God just said to me, he said, Dave, do you realize there was an initiation and dedication? It was like, Dave, come to this dedication service as you come to prayer because I initiated that you should be able to come and pray. I initiated it. You didn't. Toenail, tears, because everyone's crying. Thank God it's open. I rejoice in you. The prayer meeting's over. Yes. No. I don't have to go there. Because God initiated for me in my private 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, he initiated. It was his decision. So if he's decided I can come before him, there's no higher authority. You can have it too. You can come too. You can come too. There's the title. You can come too. Because he initiated it. Oh. Hey. The Fonzie stuff. Put our chicken in. Going back a bit. And then he dedicated it. He said, Dave, I'm dedicating what I've initiated to you. I've never read this like this. He dedicated what he initiated. I've dedicated this opening through the veil to you. It wasn't for every... I'd never seen this. I'm dedicating this opening through the veil being Jesus' body, I'm dedicating it to you. Finding it so hard to meet with God. Just struggling. Oh, no. He initiated a dedication. My prayer life's changed. No more toenails. No more trying. I don't need to try to achieve that which he initiated and dedicated. Is that all right? And on the dedication plaque into the Holy of Holies is your name and my name. You have a free pass that cost Jesus everything. You didn't have to pay for that pass. The blood paid for that pass. So it's yours by right. It was initiated by God, not by me trying. It was dedicated by him with my name and your name written on it. And then what was the third one here? And opened for us through the separating curtain, the veil of those through his flesh. So he initiated it, he dedicated it, and he opened. He cut the ribbon. He tore the veil in two, and I can come in. Come on, Jesus. I can come boldly, not because of my strength, not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. I'm no longer ever going to try and meet with you. I'm no longer trying to prove my worth. I'm no longer going to be held back from coming before your throne because I don't feel adequate, because you initiated it, you dedicated it, and you opened the way. Every time you pray from today, maybe God did want me to talk on prayer today. Maybe. Through the separating curtain veil of holies, that is through his flesh. I just see a glorious archway, if you like. I just see a glorious door swung open. The veil, that which stopped, the veil is simply that which stopped me from going through to God. It separated me. In fact, in the Old Testament terms, a veil would often be so thick. It wasn't just like a curtain, as it were. But Jesus' body was torn in two, which represented the veil, which was initiated, dedicated, and then opened up for me to be able to come into the Holy of Holies. And then in 22, this is it. I want to be closing in a minute. I hope I haven't taken too much time this morning. It says, let us all come forward. Let us all. All. You all can come. You can come too. Not other than little Sid at the back. Sid. Let's all come forward and draw near. Whenever I pray, God wants me to draw near to him, because my prayer's not function, it's relation. My relationship with God is not functional, it's relational. Let's see what this says about that. With true, honest, and sincere hearts, in unqualified assurance, an absolute conviction. I love this. Pastor Judith will love this. Engendered by faith. We are faith people. Faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the engine oil of your engine. It keeps everything going. When you try and keep going without faith, you'll cause damage to the engine. You'll overheat. You'll seize. Faith is here. And by that leaning of the entire human... Have you got the... Yeah, good. Thank you, guys, for doing that. I love the guys on the PA. You always get it in the neck. I never volunteered to be on the PA, because the minute something goes wrong, everyone stares at you. You're better hidden away from up there. It's like you get this kind of... Everyone's in a Christian service, and everyone turns and... Or the words don't come up right. Everyone can come but you. So thank you, guys. Thank you. Other church, everyone then moans it was too loud. So you've come in early, you set everything up. Oh, it's some old biddy.
That was a bit loud.
Anyway, she can come too. Having our hearts unqualified assurance, absolute conviction engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust. You can only build that in your walk with God and confidence in his power. And that only comes through spending time with him. That only comes through spending time with having our hearts sprinkled and purified. So every time I start these things at lunchtime, I start pure, sprinkled. I start from a good place, cleansed from a guilty, evil conscience, and my body cleansed with pure water. And then it says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, no acknowledgement of it, for he who promises reliable, sure and faithful is his word. In other words, that's what I wanted to read through. But what God was trying to get into me is, Dave, what do you really believe is happening when you come and pray? It's not coming with our shopping list. God bless Aunt Betty. Bless my finances. Pay off my credit card. Put your angels around me today. Amen. And please don't forget. And if I have time, I'll talk to you later. No. And it takes time. But if you think about how much time you spend watching telly or something, isn't Jesus worth a little bit of developing your... I think he's coming a bit higher now, isn't he? He doesn't want you to go through your life or me, which is why I've had this. I just pray that what I've been through helps you. I want to finish with a little bit of testimony to show you some of what this has meant to me. But as you develop your walk with God, my prayer for you is that you'll know him, as Ephesians says, more. You'll get to realize that every time you pray, I'd spend 20 minutes just reading, or 10 minutes, this scripture to remind me every day for 2 months. I've got time just for a little bit of testimony, just 2 minutes. Okay, thank you, Pastor Judith. And so our church has been in a place where I've believed God for about 20 years, to be going forward, ups and downs, like things happen and this, that and the other. Anyway, come to the end of this 2 months, and we're about to go to faith camp, and kind of mentally, we had a baptism service coming up, and mentally, I was quite tired, had a lot going on, ready for my holiday, ready for faith camp, and our last Sunday was going to be a baptism service, and we came in on the Sunday morning, Joel, my son, and I, Joel leads the worship, and there was smoke everywhere. And it's funny in a way, but it's not funny in another, but the baptistry had caught on fire. And what had happened is all the water had drained out overnight and the plastic cover had hit the element. And so the whole of the church was just totally blacked out, I guess. It was just been fiberglass fumes, everything. And it's something I've been building kind of for 20 and all the rest of it. I just stood there and this is at the end of my 2 months meeting with God. And I just stood at the front before faith camp and everything just black. I just stood on the platform and just looked out on my own and said, Lord, you're either going to raise this or that's the end of it. And I didn't realize I'd been praying some things a few months ago, like, God, we've got a similar building to this, but it's a lot older than this, and everything was mucky and dusty, and everything, lots of stuff needed renewing. We didn't have the time or the resource or the finance to do it. But as a result of this happening, the insurance of giving us £20,000 of cleanup. So from the roof to the bottom, there's not 1 inch they haven't been coming in with these chemicals and the... I mean, the place is as clean as new. It'll be finished on Tuesday. Every bit of electrical equipment, everything. and replacing things and bits of electronic equipment they're doing. Even in the kitchen, every kitchen drawer cleaned out professionally, every knife, every fork, everything. Listen, this God who's reliable, just because something happens to you and you don't understand, he might not answer your prayer how you think he's going to. You might see ash. You might see something. But God wants you to see him. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you learn to do this Hebrew 10, and in the storm of your life, you lean on him. In the storm of your life, you've got to know he's reliable and faithful. You may be standing in the ashes. You may be standing in the disaster. You may be standing in the difficulty. But God will bring you through. Because you're leaning on and trusting him. I didn't know whether the insurance were going to pay out. So my first few days of Faith Camp were quite interesting because sometimes insurance companies can get away with not paying and things. And so it was a real faith goal. And Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrew were standing with me in faith and believing God for this. But God came along and he said to me on the 31st of August, I was praying in my hotel room. He said to me and gave me this word over the church, because you know sometimes in your life people knock things, you begin to question them, and you know, been going at something for years and wondering why certain things haven't happened. And at the end of everything in the creation story that God created, he said this, he said, and God saw that it was good, fitting, admirable, and he approved it. And God said to me, he says, Dave, this is why it's still in ashes. He said to me, because I just haven't heard about the insurance coming through. He said, Dave, I look at your church and I see it's good, admirable. I think it's brilliant and I'm pleased with it. So I said to God, I said, my continuation of this then, if you think it's good, isn't depending on an insurance payout. I said, I'll clean every inch of the place myself if I have to. But if you think this is good, and if you think this is admirable, if you think this is wonderful, then that's good enough for me. We'll keep going. Amen. And then on the, see, my thing was, if the insurance payout, we keep going. God's thing was, I love this. It's good what you're doing here. Don't care what anyone else thinks. I love it. It's brilliant. That was enough for me because I know my God. But I did say to God, I said, God, I get it and I'll keep going. But it really would help me if someone else would come and clean it. And I actually realized now I wouldn't have had the capability because you need all these all sorts of things that clean the air through and everything. And on the 1st of August, the end of the 2 months of meeting with God, the insurance company phoned. And he said, and I was in such a good place with God then. I'd been worried up till then. This guy's called Chris, this insurance guy. And he said, I said, hi, Chris, how are you? And he was shocked. Well, more to the point, how are you? I'm fine. Oh, good. Because I was fine because I knew God was good. Whether the insurance company paid up or not, God is good. I'm not dependent on the insurance company. I'm dependent on God being good. And he says, well, good news, the insurance company are paying up. Hallelujah. God is good. But my keeping going, I had to come to a place where I'm not moved by what I feel or see. I have the victor living in me. And the victor through my prayer and my confident access became the biggest thing. And you can come too. You can come too. Because Hebrews 10 says you can come too. And I know in new seasons we often put extra prayer on as churches and that, but God doesn't want you just to come along like you have before. No way. The leaders will do their thing. The Spirit will do his thing. But God wants to do something in you as a thing. He wants you to come too. He wants you not to see from afar. He wants you to come too. And Hebrews 10 says he's made the way. Hallelujah. He did it for you. He did it for me. He opened up the way. Your name is on that. plaque. And that he has sorted out. I'm going to finish with this scripture, just this bit of scripture one more time. And I just want to just pray for you guys out of love, not like in ministry terms, but just for the whole church. I just want to give you guys a blessing from our end. You guys bless us more than you know. And I just want to pray God's blessing over this new season, if I can do that. And we'll go from there. But I want to finish today with what's meant so much to me this morning and in this season, by this fresh, new, and living way which he initiated. Your closeness to him was his idea. Hallelujah. He dedicated. Dave, I dedicate my son's Jesus' death to your resurrection life in him. Is that personal? Never get into competition and comparing yourself with others. It's enough. Your highest accolade isn't your position in ministry or in life or your bank balance. Your highest accolade is what Jesus has done for you and for me. And our strongest identity isn't what we have or don't have. It's him. And he is more than enough. He dedicated it, and what's the other thing he did? He opened it. He said, come on through. Let's finish with this. You can come too.